Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios.
It's Wednesday, August 26th.
We've been talking about the Postal Service and the election on the show, obviously, and I want to play a remarkable five-minute stretch from Monday's House Oversight Committee hearing with Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, the businessman and Trump donor appointed to the Post this year. You probably know that he now says he will stop the process that was taking place of removing postal sorting equipment and blue mailboxes until after the election, but questions remain. Now, this section of the hearing is getting a lot of notice for the questioning of Congresswoman Katie Porter of California. She's a former law professor. And you'll hear how she teases out some of Louis DeJoy's ignorance about the postal system. He's new to it, even though he runs it. And then she questions him directly on whether he'll reverse some of the dismantling of their operation that's been done on his watch. Each House member gets 5 minutes at these congressional hearings. That's how they work. In the case of Katie Porter's 5 minutes, here's the whole thing.
Mr. DeJoy, thank you for being with us today. What is the cost of a first-class postage stamp?
55 cents.
Just wanted to check. What about to mail a postcard?
I don't know, ma'am.
You don't know the cost to mail a postcard?
I don't.
What if I want to mail you said 55 cents for a first class stamp, but what if it's like one of those greeting cards that's a square envelope? Then what is the postage?
I'll submit that I know very little about a postage stamp.
And what is the weight limit? You are more in the shipping logistics business. What's the weight limit for priority mail?
70 pounds.
And what is the starting rate for U.S. Post Office, USPS priority mail?
The starting rate for what?
USPS priority mail.
Starting weight, 14 ounces.
No, the rate, the price.
I don't know.
Do you know about within a million or so, can you tell me how many people voted by mail in the last presidential election?
No, I cannot.
To the nearest 10 million?
Is that a no,
Mr. DeJoy?
I would be guessing, and I don't want to guess.
Okay, so Mr. DeJoy, I'm concerned. I'm glad you know the price of a stamp. But I'm concerned about your understanding of this agency. And I'm particularly concerned about it because you started taking very decisive action when you became Postmaster General. You started directing the unplugging and destroying of machines, changing of employee procedures, and locking of collection boxes. As a professor, I've always told my students that one of the most important rules in life is to read the instructions. Did you actually read and independently analyze the major overhaul plans before you ordered them to take effect?
Again, I will repeat that I did not order major overhaul plans. The items you identify were not directed by me. I did, and
we're
we don't need much
time,
analysis to get to run
Could
your
you
trucks to a schedule.
Me? Reclaiming my time, Mr. DeJoy, could you please tell me who did order these changes if you as Postmaster General did not? Because these changes have resulted in, and you have said yourself in this hearing.
The Postal Service has been around for 250 years. There were plans. There were many, many executives, almost 30,000 executives within the organization. And there are plans that existed prior to my arrival that were continued, that were implemented.
Mr. DeJoy, if you did not order these actions to be taken, please tell the committee the name of who did.
I do not know.
Mr. DeJoy, did you analyze these plans before they went into effect? You, as Postmaster General, supervise whomever did apparently.
As I've stated numerous times, the plans were in effect and being implemented before I arrived.
But Mr. DeJoy, do you take responsibility for these changes?
I take responsibility from the day I sat in a seat for any service deterioration that has occurred. You're asking about operational changes that go on throughout
time.
The whole organization around the country.
Mr. DeJoy, I'm reclaiming my time, sir. Mr. DeJoy, will you commit to reversing these changes?
No.
Mr. DeJoy, will you commit to, if the independent, I want to switch to conflicts of interest quickly. Will you commit that if the Inspector General finds that you committed misconduct with regard to your financial interests in any other company, such as XPO Logistics or Amazon, will you commit, if the Inspector General finds that you committed misconduct, will you commit to then resigning?
I don't believe they will find misconduct, but I don't see why I would commit here right now to resigning for any reason.
Well, you don't think there's any reason that you should ever resign?
No reason that I've heard here today.
Okay. Mr. DeJoy, do you today, because this has been, you've gone back and forth a bit, I want to ask one final question. Do you own any financial interest, whether options or stocks, covered calls, bought or sold, do you own today any financial interest in Amazon?
I do not.
California Congresswoman Democrat Katie Porter questioning Postmaster General Louis DeJoy in the House Oversight Committee hearing on Monday. Now, another issue regarding the post office service changes that didn't come up in that exchange is that they hurt people of color and otherwise in disenfranchised communities disproportionately. That would include people in rural communities, too. To talk about that and more, we're happy to welcome Derek Johnson, the president and CEO of the NAACP. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to WNYC, Mr. Johnson. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity.
Had you heard that whole Katie Porter 5 minutes with the Postmaster General before?
I have, and it is unconscionable that we are looking at the destruction of an American institution that so many people rely on, not only for voting, but for their medications and military veterans. And we are destroying this institution for the purpose of persuading the outcome of an election. This borderlines on treason, in my opinion. This is an awful reality that we are confronted with. And unfortunately, in the next 70 days or so between now and the election, we can't even imagine what else they're going to seek to destroy in order to influence the outcome of the presidential election. This is an unfortunate point in our history.
I'll ask you in a minute if you're reassured or to what degree you're reassured by Louis DeJoy saying they are not going to remove any more sorting equipment or blue mailboxes between now and the elections and promising that they do have the capacity to deliver mail that's mailed, I guess, up to a week before Election Day. But some people may not realize the disparate impact aspect of the post office issue. So why are you, as head of the NAACP, speaking out on this?
Well, to use an illustration of the Wisconsin primary in the city of Milwaukee, with a majority African American, substantial population of African Americans, I should say, where those individuals had to choose between their health and their constitutional right to vote. And they stood in very long lines because of the closing of so many precincts in that city. Mail-in voting should be an option for individuals who are health compromised in the midst of this health pandemic. Then when you overlay that with the high percentage of African-Americans who live in the Southeast region in the South, many communities being rural, there is another impact because rural communities depend on the Postal Service more so than many other communities, because they rely on the delivery of services such as medication. This should not be taking place. Elections are partisan activities, but the administration of elections, how we carry them out, how we open up access to voting, how do we make sure there's full participation, making sure people are not making life decisions just to exercise their right to vote. That should not be a part of the conversation. And that's why we have to file the lawsuit. That's why we're in the midst of all of this. This should not be a partisan question. This should be about how are we ensuring that people are safe as they exercise their right to vote.
You mentioned a lawsuit. Are you a party at the NAACP to the lawsuit filed around these issues by the New York State Attorney General Letitia James yesterday?
We filed a separate lawsuit on last week. We are in support of all of the Attorney General's lawsuits that's been filed across the country. The NAACP, along with the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, we joined forces for this purpose. This should be an outrage to the American public, black or white. Our institutions, our systems of governance should be strengthened, should be fortified, not demolished, for individuals to take to have personal gain, whether it's election outcomes or economic benefits.
Mr. DeJoy did say that he has halted until at least after the election the removal of sorting equipment from post offices and blue mailboxes. So what would your lawsuit have a court compel the Postal Service to do between now and the election that they haven't already done?
What, reinstall the machines and the mailboxes that were taken out of commission, repair the injury that's already been done, but most importantly, his word of assurance fall on deaf ears is his actions. And his actions have shown that he has a disregard for the Postal Service, a disregard for the workers, and a disregard for the many Americans that depend on the Postal Services, not only to cast their ballot, but to receive their medications. His words falls on deaf ears when he, in fact, also said in the same interview we just heard that he's going to halt moving forward, but he's not going to restore the harm that was already done. Our lawsuit is to address the harm that's been done, because the machines, which are high-capacity sorting machines, will be required to ensure timely, efficient delivery of mail. That he has not put forth any particular or alternative mechanism to be quicker, more efficient than the very machines that he disassembled. So how can you say that I assure you that the services will not be lost, but the very system that was put in place to make it more efficient, you dismantle?
I agree with you. It was one of the most striking moments of that exchange with Congresswoman Porter when she asked him the direct question of whether he would reverse the actions that have already been taken under his leadership that he said he didn't order and he didn't know who did order, and he said no. Can a court compel him to reinstall sorting machines between now and the election? Can it happen in that timely a fashion?
Well, we hope so. I mean, we hope that the court would act soon and join any further harm and require replacement. But I just spoke to a group yesterday, and NAACP, we're clear. If we don't fight, we don't win. And we could not sit idly by and allow this level of destruction of an American institution for the purpose of influence the outcome of the election. And so we're going to continue to push forward. We're going to work as hard as we can to make sure every eligible person casts their ballot, even with these type disruptions. We must continue to push in order for this democracy to work. People may not see it the same way I see it, but we are teetering on a level of destroying our democracy that may not be repairable if we go into a new administration that's acting with this level of callous towards our institutions, the rule of law, or any system of normalcy. This administration has been a disaster. We are sitting in the midst of a health pandemic in the backdrop of economic collapse with racial strife, and the only thing the person sitting in the White House care about is his image and making sure that his friends generate a profit.
Let's take a phone call. Derek, on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Derek Johnson, president and CEO of the NAACP. Hello, Derek. Derek, you're on with Derek.
Yeah. I'm the original Derek, and I'm also a lifetime member of the NAACP. I noticed something in the last 10 days. The blue mailboxes on the Upper West Side have been altered. They used to have that lid where you pull down the handle, throw your mail on the lid, and then release the handle and it self-closes. Those lids have been removed. Now there's a slot where you shove your mail into a slot. The slot is more narrow than the original lid. And on Sunday night, I noticed a woman with a large envelope. She tried to put it into the mailbox, the blue mailbox, and it would not fit. So she could not drop the mail in there. I assume it was pre-posted, or I mean, had the postage on it. Mm-hmm. My question is, does anybody know how wide or how the most narrow envelope for these mail-in ballots for voting are, and will they fit into these newly formed slots?
Oh, that's a great question. And they had changed it from a lid to a slot some time ago in my neighborhood. I guess that's a national change that's been going on for some time at the USPS. Are you aware of that change? Is that an issue? And Derek asks the very, very relevant question, are the ballot envelopes thin enough to fit in the new slots?
Yeah, I'm not aware, but I'm not surprised. And we must also recognize that this is about the elections, but also some individuals, a long-term play, have always been to destroy the post office so we can privatize delivery of mails and other packages. So we're looking at how democracy is being subverted, or those who are seeking to subvert democracy, by eliminating access to voting by mail, while at the same time, there is a sizable corporate community or entrepreneur community who would like to see the Postal Service completely privatized. And so we are in the midst of this American institution being destroyed. That is concerning, because it could create a private delivery system that price out our elderly and many people who depend on the postal services for so many things, such as medications, especially in rural areas. When you begin to determine whether or not someone should receive packages and the value proposition of delivering the packages based on one's zip code or residency, rural or urban, poor or high income, you begin to eliminate access to the service.
Derek Johnson, president and CEO of the NAACP. Thanks so much for coming on with us. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Have a good morning.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.